Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in both content.
All right, we're getting into our deep dive now with Pastor Andrew Mkandawira joining us for the final time as we conclude our lesson on peacemaking in our personal and professional lives. All right, if you have anything that you'd like to share or add to the conversation as we conclude, please feel free to do that on +27734703520. Now, true peacemaking is not just something we do after a conflict. It's a posture that we carry every single day. From our tone of voice to the way that we manage our time and our expectations, we either contribute to chaos or cultivate calm. What kind of atmosphere are you building? My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good morning to you too.
All right. So, Pastor, we are coming to the final stage of our conversation on peacemaking. What small everyday choices do you think contribute to peace around you?
All right. So, from the examples we get from the Hebrew culture and the Muslims, every time they meet strangers, they greet them with a wish for peace. And so it is true, even in my surroundings, that a simple smile and a greet will just lighten the situation. It just makes peace easy. And so a simple wish for peace for those around you, and you do it by simply just gesturing with a smile and a greet, and that goes a very long way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And just
so it can be as small as that.
Yeah, yeah. And mm-hmm. And how can we proactively create peace culture in our homes, in our workplaces, just in our general surroundings, other than that?
I find that to be able to do this, we must be able to practice a real Christ-like lifestyle. And for us to be able to do that, we need to adhere to what Scripture says. Like Paul tells us when he speaks to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, when we speak about this mind that was in Christ, Paul then makes it an imperative. He says to in Romans chapter 12, verse 18 and 21, he says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not be overcome by evil, but instead overcome evil with good. Mm-hmm. And so for us to be proactive in bringing peace in every environment, creating a peaceful culture, we need to do so with a sincere Christ-like mindedness. And other than that, it's not even going to be able to be possible. So we have to operate as Christians like Christ, and then we then overcome evil with good. That is the only way that we can proactively create a peaceful environment.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a nice thing to say, and I say this to my kids all the time, but yo, when it comes to applying it, overcome evil with good, my goodness, not easy, not easy at all.
It takes
practice. Yes, yes, it definitely does. And why is peacemaking often mistaken for passive or weak? And even as you answer that question, what is the difference between peacemaking and just being passive?
Nice. I like that you added a layer to the question. Mm. The reason peacemaking is often mistaken for being passive or weak is because it is often confused with peacekeeping.
Okay.
There's a difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Peacekeeping entails that you walk softly, carefully, as though you're walking on eggshells in order not to upset anyone. Peacekeeping also entails that you show you do not show your real feelings. You don't tell the actual truth. You sugarcoat it so that you don't, you know, start an argument. So to prevent an argument, you don't tell the actual truth. You don't tell how you actually feel about something. And it also means that you have to avoid conflict at all costs. And sometimes you even get to apologize for things you haven't even done because you are peacekeeping. And this is passive as far as peacemaking is concerned. Mm. But the beauty is, God does not call us to peacekeeping, because the Bible says nothing about peacekeeping. The Bible tells us instead to make peace.
Hey.
In the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, verse 9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers.
Hey.
So we are called to make peace and not to keep peace. Oh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, peacemaking entails that you are committed to telling the truth in love.
Mm.
So you tell the actual truth, but you speak it in love. And peacemakers are humble enough to pray for the people who hate them.
Right.
Or they pursue reconciliation wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking.
Right.
In peacekeeping, you pursue reconciliation. In peacemaking, you avoid conflict.
Mm.
And so if this truth that you are feeling is going to bring about an argument, create conflict, you avoid telling the truth.
Mm.
But instead, in peacekeeping, what happens is you get frustrated over time.
Okay.
So that's why it's regarded as passive, because it builds up frustration in you. But in peacemaking, it is let out, it is let loose, and you have real reconciliation take place when a wrong has been committed. And so that's the difference that is there between peacekeeping and peacemaking. And as a result, the passive one is indeed really just peacemaking rather than peacekeeping rather than peacemaking.
I understand the difference. I think that's a beautiful distinction. But at the same time, I feel like there can be a contradiction in our teaching sometimes, because on the one hand, you're told, don't sweat the small stuff. You know, everything is not a big deal. Some things, just let them, you know, just let them fall off your back. Sometimes we even teach this to our children when they're bickering about every single thing. You know, some of the things, just let things go. Everything doesn't have to be a big confrontation. And I don't know if that then leads people, as we grow, to just not know how to handle conflict at all. And they just learn to just deal with the discomfort until it's building up and building resentment. And then we explode one day. How do we tell the difference between that, don't sweat the small stuff? Everything doesn't need to be confronted. Everything doesn't need to be discussed. Some things just let them go. How do we know that this one can just let it go, or this thing here is going to become a problem if I don't confront it head on right now while it's still a small thing?
True. I like the fact that you actually say, as we teach these to our children.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, what we are taught as children, we grow up with. And so as parents, as we teach these things to our children, we need to understand the difference ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that we endeavor, as time goes on, we endeavor to tell the difference to our children because we understand it ourselves.
Mm.
Indeed, you're right. There's a thin line between just letting go of small stuff and making true peace, actual peace, from all the head, small or big.
Mm.
And so we have to be wise to, you know, it can build up, it can be small and you ignore, but as it builds up, if it is repeated, as it builds up, it must be then confronted.
Yeah.
So that it is then pursued and it is tackled head on. So that as we grow, we are able to tell the difference. Yes, we can tolerate this, but we can tolerate this much for the sake of inner peace.
Sure, right. I get
it. Yeah, and so there's a very thin line, but it takes wisdom for us to be able to differentiate.
Yeah, sure. So I'm asking because I've had this issue with my own kids, and you know, there was a time they were just bickering over every little thing. And so to avoid that, I was like, okay, you know what? When there's a problem, come to me. Come and tell me. Stop fighting among yourselves. You guys don't know how to deal with conflict. Come to me. I'm the mature one here. So come and tell me. Yo, pastor, every 5 minutes someone was coming to report something. And I was like, you know what? Never mind. Just sort it out amongst yourselves. Count me out, because wow, every 5 minutes, mom, this one is doing this, mom, this one is doing that. Like, yo.
No, I hear you.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, and most of the things for me as an adult who knows the difference between the big stuff and the small stuff, 90% of the things they're arguing about, I'm like, really? Is this really an argument? And, yo, anyway.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the long-term effects of consistently choosing peace?
Oh, this is a beautiful question. Allow me to read Romans chapter 12. Let me read from verse 10 to verse 13, and then let's see what we can pick out from this passage of Scripture. Romans 12, verse 10 to 13. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And it goes on, but let me just stop it there. The long-term effects of consistently choosing peace, as Scripture would allude, bring about an improved health and wellness, well-being, because if we are given to hospitality and we are considerate one with another, then as we have need, our needs are supplied by our brothers. As they have need, we supply their needs. And so you have improved well-being among a community. And this brings about peace of mind and health instead. And then it also brings about social stability and cohesion. Because if there's brotherly love in a community, then you have social stability. And because of social stability, you also have cultural exchange and understanding. And so it's like in an environment, in a community where you have brotherly love, as Paul puts it here, you have a growing, thriving community.
Right.
And so cultural exchange happens easily, and understanding very easy. So you have less of things like stereotypes among a community that understands itself. You also have improved productivity and development, because as we minister to each other, to each other's needs, we develop each other. And in an environment that is practicing such brotherly love, you'll experience reduced crime and violence. Now imagine that this is practiced in a work environment, workspace, or at home. So all these things will be attributed to that space, that work environment, to the home, because you have brotherly love being practiced by everyone, because everyone esteems another better than themselves. And they are given to hospitality better. And so you have, wherever conflict arises, because you are given to hospitality, because you esteem each other better, and because you are fervent in prayer, the environment becomes peaceful. Conflicts are resolved peacefully and quickly, and the atmosphere is returned back to normal. And so you have a thriving environment because you practice peace continually. You choose continue. Yeah.
I like that. And I really like the idea of choosing peace, because sometimes mm-hmm. we act as if it's just something that peace is something that happens to us, depending mm-hmm. on our circumstances, depending on the surroundings. And like we have no choice in the matter. We have no control over it. It just either is or it isn't. But when we call it a choice, when we talk about choosing peace, that just reminds us that we have a choice. We are the ones who decide whether mm-hmm. we're going to actually experience it and enjoy it or not. Now, how can exactly, and create it. That's right. Now, how can you inspire mm-hmm. others to adopt a peace first mindset?
Mm-hmm. Now, this is like you were saying about the idea of choosing peace. It has to be deliberately created.
Sure.
The idea of inspiring others mm-hmm. is even harder. It's not simple. Now, to inspire others, you first have to have been impacted by this kind of lifestyle yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you make it work for yourself first. Now, Paul, speaking to the Corinthians in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says to them, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Mm. And so if this Christ Paul is preaching is seen to be any different than Paul, then he would not be able to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Right, yeah.
And so he is Christ. And then they see Paul's works. And yes, they are similar to the Christ that he is preaching. And so first of all, it has to work for me. Then I can inspire another for them to think, it could work for me too. Mm-hmm. And so it must be work for me too, which is extremely hard. Now, when it works for me, then it can work for another. Mm-hmm. Another can feel inspired to do it. Now, to be able to make it work for me, I must establish supportive boundaries, boundaries that will make lasting peace mm-hmm. for me. And so you create supportive boundaries and you seek fulfillment over ego validation. Like what you do should not be done because you want praise as a result. But the fulfillment that it gives you should be the drive to what you do. And so the fulfillment that you derive from your actions should be inner peace. Mm. So that if it is inner peace, it will then show outwardly. So you have boundaries that support your inner peace, and your actions are in pursuit of fulfillment, inner peace. And when this is done, we then practice being present in the moment. Mm. So we have good boundaries, supportive boundaries, boundaries that create inner peace for ourselves. And we act, we speak, we behave for the sake of our own inner peace. And we are present in the moment. Mm. This then becomes apparent that indeed the choice of peace for this person works for them. Mm. And if it works for them, it can work for me too. And that is how we inspire others, by first imitating Christ, mm. by first making it work for us. And if it works for us, it will be seen to be working for us, and others would want to join in.
Beautiful. Sure, I love that. And I like the idea also that, as you said, that if it works for us, it will be seen. It's not even something that you mm-hmm. have to be preaching about or announcing to the world about your peace. Mm-hmm. We can see it just exuding from your presence, from your aura. And it's quite mm-hmm. evident that God is with you. Any final thoughts that you'd like to mm-hmm. share with us? Maybe something we might have missed, or key points that you want to make sure that our listeners don't forget as we move forward as peacemakers rather than peacekeepers?
Mm-hmm. Great. Let me just repeat this verse. Mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful book to end with. Mm-hmm. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, mm. for they shall be called children of God.
Amen.
And as I said, peacemaking is telling the truth in love. It is being humble enough to pray for thee that offend you. It is pursuing reconciliation wholeheartedly for the benefit of everybody involved. And so that's how we become blessed. And that's how children of God ought to live their lives.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, my pastor, thank you so much for your time this week. Thank you for everything that you've shared with us with regard to the subject and your personal experiences as well that you were kind enough to open up and share with us. I think it's been a blessing. And of course, any questions that you might have, listeners, or anything else that you'd like to add, you're welcome to do that. +27 734703520. Pastor Mkandawira, thank you so much for your time. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Thank you so much. God bless you too. And have a lovely day.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.